say definitely go for it.
Nice, nice. Yeah, and definitely good, like, I feel like there's a lot that you guys take care of that people aren't necessarily aware of, which can be, you know, it's hard to do work that goes unthanked sometimes, but I think it seems like really good experience for doing stuff outside of school when you finish. So, yeah. Cool. Any final parting words about the AMS?
Final parting words about the AMS. I think I would love to say that it would be awesome to have more people come and get involved in any capacity.
Totally.
We're here. It's a really big, and there are so many little pockets of areas that you can get involved in, anything from the art gallery to tutoring to clubs to Safe Walk. To new subcommittee, just so many different things, and it's been great so far, so I
Nice.
would
And
put
you
that
guys
out
hold
there.
meetings every that are open to the student body, right? Is that every 2 weeks?
Every 2 weeks, Wednesdays at 6 p.m. we have one this Wednesday, and there's free food, so if anything, come for the free food
Yeah, and you can
and
just sit
stay for a
and
bit.
watch and like see what updates are happening and things like that. Like it's very, yeah. So yeah, CITR presented on one of those at the beginning of the year. So it's like it's
I remember
interesting to
that.
see, like, I don't know, you just don't think about all these things that are happening. It's kind of interesting to see the inner workings a little bit. Kind of the inner workings. I'm sure those like inner workings.
There are many multitudes of various types of diverse workings.
Nice, yeah. And actually, something exciting that I was thinking about that when you were just saying that is that happened this year was you achieving quorum for the first time in like 40 years at one of the what was that
Annual
classified?
general meeting.
Yeah, at the annual general meeting that was held regarding the tuition increases and the residence fee increases. That was exciting.
It was very exciting. It was the amount of energy in that room
Yeah.
and the amount of energy in the room before it was filled. It was just, I don't know how to describe that feeling, is you're not sure if people are going to show up. And
Totally.
then partway through the meeting, we lost quorum, I think, by 8 people. So I literally left my seat, ran downstairs to the gallery and around the hallway, and dragged people
Back
upstairs and said,
upstairs.
"Come and have a coffee, please. We
Yeah.
need your body in the room and get informed."
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
funny. First, so for some background for people who weren't there, there was an annual general meeting, and students had to vote on a few propositions.
Motions.
Motions to the AMS about going forward with negotiating with the Board of Governors or presenting our positions. In order for those votes to hold more weight, please correct me if I'm explaining this wrongly, we had to have 500 students show up to the meeting. So we got 500, but like Eva mentioned, then there was a point where like a few people left. And I talked to a few students who weren't there that day, and they said they were getting texts from like everybody they knew being like, come
Come
to
to
the
the
sub,
gallery.
come to the sub, come upstairs. Like, what are you doing? Leave your class. Like, doesn't matter. Like, you need to be here. And they were just like, whoa, like multiple people. So.
So a little bit on that number of 500. With a population of about 50,000 students, 500 would be 10%. And they actually had decreased from a larger number a few years ago, down to 500 for quorum. And quorum means enough people to be legitimately representative of a larger group. So anything less than 500 would fail to be substantial enough. Just like if you're doing research and you put out a survey and you need statistical significance, not to get too technical, but
No, makes
that's the same
sense.
idea.
Same makes sense. And yeah, and that's hard. That must be so hard working with such a big student population, right? Because, like you said before, representing, trying to get the whole scope of opinions can be a hard thing to do. So yeah, but I think that probably speaks to the work that you guys have been doing this year, just the fact that we were able to get that many people out. It's really cool. All right, so we have the Astronomy Club coming up next on 24 Hours of Student Power. We are gonna listen to a track in the meantime. This is called Pretty Girls by local band The Oz.
This morning as I walked over smiling, just to hear you say it's over, I lost my balance.
the clock in the tower is chiming the hour. Your train will soon come, and if we don't run, we'll be here all day. Would it be so bad to stay? The engines come in, we wonder where they've been. Maybe some places we know, maybe some places we'll go. Just don't listen to the whistle calling.
That was, you're listening to CITR radio station, and this is the 24 Hours of Student Power. My name is Yusi, and I'm in the studio with...
I'm Ben Pierce.
And I'm Robin Newhouse.
So, and you guys are with the Astronomy Club. Can you guys tell me a little bit about yourself and about the club?
Absolutely. I'll start, I guess. I'm the current president of the Astronomy Club, and... I'm a fourth-year astronomy student at UBC in my final year, one more term, and then I hope to be going to grad school next year. I applied to UBC and McMaster and SFU, but I really want to go here. It's a great program here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exciting.
I'm Robin Newhouse, and I was co-president of the Astronomy Club for the past 2 years, and I've been kind of on board with the club since I started at UBC, which was about 6 years ago.
Yeah, we got the vet here.
Victory laps. So yeah, I just finished my last classes of undergrad on Friday.
Oh,
so hopefully I will be done if I pass all my stuff. I'm also applying to grad school here.
Maybe we'll be colleagues next year.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. I'll tell you a little bit about the Astronomy Club if you want to. So I guess... our main purpose, we have three kind of main purposes, or three main groups of people which kind of drive our purpose. The first group of people is astronomy students at UBC, where we try and support them by providing them with a connection to other students and provide them with opportunities for personal growth. Then the second group of people is just UBC students on campus. Anyone who's interested in astronomy, interested in space, the cosmos... we try and foster a community of amateur astronomers by giving them access to the cosmos through our telescopes and our on and off campus observation nights. And then the third group of people that we try and cater to is really just the greater Vancouver area. We have a lot of outreach events where we try and connect with either other astronomy organizations in Vancouver or just other organizations that have an interest in space and astronomy. For example, a couple months ago, we had an event for the Canadian Association for Girls in Science. And there was all these girls from 6 to 16 who came, and we did a lecture on the scale of the universe for them and a virtual tour of the cosmos with this cool software called Stellarium. And then we took them outside and showed them a few celestial objects through our telescopes. And the girls were so excited, and it was just an amazing time. So I guess that's really the purpose of the Astronomy Club.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add on to that?
Yeah, I like spending time with the other astronomy students throughout the club, but my favorite part is bringing astronomy to the community and to the rest of the UBC students and having people see, you know, Saturn for the first time and losing their minds. I just, that's what keeps me going in the club and, why I love being part of it.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm glad that we get to cater to such a wide group of people.
You almost don't believe it when you look at Saturn for the first time through a telescope.
Yes, yeah,
like, no way. That's not out
there. About half the time.
You put a picture on the front of the telescope.
About half the time I hear, is that, wait, what is this hooked up to? Why? You know what? That can't be real.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds exciting. I actually took an astronomy course in my second year.
Oh, nice.
And I didn't have the chance to look at the sun. We were looking at sun solar flares, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excellent.
But in terms of events, you talked about bringing kids in or bring girls in that are aged from 6 to 16.
Mm-hmm.
What are some events that you guys host maybe on campus or off campus during the year?
Yeah, we have our bread and butter event, I guess, which is observation nights on campus. We go to the field in between the corner and IKB library.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, since we're in Vancouver, we kind of have to plan it the day of. Because the weather just never really cooperates if you plan in advance.
This is possibly the worst region in the world to have an astronomy club.
Totally.
Sometimes we're just the cloud club.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll have an idea. We'll be like, we should have one this week. So then we wake up in the morning on, say, a Tuesday, and is it cloudy? No, it's not cloudy. All right, let's go for an observation night. So we'll email all of our members, we'll update our Facebook page, and we'll bring a couple telescopes out to that field, and we'll gather.
Yeah. We usually get pretty good turnout to those. And there's also a bunch of people that just wander by the libraries. And it's especially fun on a Friday night when all the people are walking drunk back to their dorms. And they're like, what is that? Let's go look at space.
Yeah, you guys are pretty hard to miss.
Yeah, and people are so curious. They're just like, are you looking at stuff? Can I see?
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how it happens. That's how we've grown so large, is just... just passerbys, just people who kind of have an interest in space but never really had an opportunity to look through a telescope and see what's out there. So that's our main event. But we also have observation nights off campus. For example, in the end of September, we went to Porto Cove, which is...
about halfway up to Squamish.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was really cool. There was a dark sky reserve out near Abbotsford that we would go to a couple times, but I honestly... think Porto Cove was even better than that.
This is apparently a magnitude better, which in astronomy terms means it's about 2.5 times darker than it is in Fraser Valley.
It was just a really cool spot. We just pulled off the Sea to Sky Highway, and there's a big concrete pier out into the middle of Howe Sound, and we brought all our telescopes out there, and we had about 35 people come out just to hang out in the cold and look at really cool stuff.
Yeah, and see the Milky Way.
Yeah, you could see the Milky Way from out there.
You could see the Milky Way from there. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, very clearly.
It's really nice. You walk out of the car and you almost don't believe it. I remember you said it to me. You're like, Ben, look up. And I was like,
yeah.
And there's this kid who's in grade 12, who's one of our execs, a junior exec, who goes to the high school down the road, and he saw it, and his reaction was priceless.
He's so, I love this guy. He's so into astronomy and just loves it. He's the head of his astronomy club in high school, and he's been on our exec for 2 years now.
Yeah.
And he had never seen the Milky Way, because, you know, living in a city, it's kind of hard to see anything good.
Yeah.
And so when he was, I saw him, get out of the car and just,
It was incredible.
Yeah, yeah. And for pretty much like half an hour, he was just
losing. Yeah, and that's the appropriate reaction. Exactly. I've seen it for the first time. It's you almost don't even realize that that's actually there because the light pollution in major cities is just taking it away. Mm-hmm. So once you get out into the dark countryside or a dark sky reserve, you get to really appreciate the sky for what's actually out there and what's actually out there all the time if you could just see it.
Yeah, this sounds amazing. I want to see it myself, too. So how can, if people want to get in contact with the UBC Astronomy Club, how can they find you guys?
There's a number of ways. You can go to our website and join our mailing list or join the Facebook group or just email us and we'll put you on the mailing list.
Yeah. I'd say the easiest way would be to join our Facebook group because we're updating that all the time and you can just go and check it out.
And then come out to any of our events, and membership is just $5 for students, and you get to use our stuff all year.
Yeah.
What is the name on your Facebook page? Is it just UBC Astronomy Club?
Exactly, or? That's right. Okay. That's exactly what it is.
So if you want to get involved, guys, in UBC Astronomy Club on Facebook. Talking about executives, you said there's even a grade 12 student on your exec board.
That's really exciting.
How can students get involved on the executive if they want to be a member?
Yeah, great question. So every March we have elections, yearly elections for all the executive positions. And for example, right now we have about 20 executives on our team, which is composed of a president, four VPs, and then a bunch of support positions. But, I mean, like, me and Robin are both gone at the end of this year. Well, Robin's actually gone now.
And
there's a lot of other students graduating as well. So we definitely need some passionate people about astronomy to come take over these roles and keep the club going strong. So,
This is a call for execs, everybody. Come on out.
Yeah. So come out to events now and get to know everyone on the current exec and all the other members, and then when March rolls around, we'll send out an email and we'll update our Facebook page.
Pretty much the way I've seen every exec join is they come out to a couple of events and help move telescopes and, you know, make friends with us. We're some friendly people, and then come out to just a couple meetings and then join as a general officer and eventually a whatever position they find themselves most suitable for.
Yeah, that's how I joined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just went to events and then decided this is what I wanted to really get more involved with. And it's been extremely fulfilling.
Ben has been doing an incredible job as president.
I learned from the best.
Making me look very bad.
Thanks, man.
Are there any fun facts about the Astronomy Club, or do you guys have any? Do you know what?
Tons. We love talking about space so much.
That's the best part about this.
Yeah, like sometimes some of our events, we just go to like the gallery or a coroner's pub, and we just talk about space for hours because it's just something that we love to talk about.
Very heated discussions.
There's tons of topics we could bring up. For example, humans have currently landed a probe on a comet for the first time in history.
Successfully.
No.
The mission's called Rosetta, and the probe's called Philae, and it landed on a comet about 3 weeks ago.
By the European Space Agency.
Yeah, by ESA. And it's actually collected organic samples using its 23-centimeter drill and its in-situ mass spectrometer.
Yeah.
And it's right now analyzing those organic molecules, and we get to find out pretty soon whether or not a comet is a from an experimental standpoint, whether a comet is a good womb for organics.
Yeah, this is something not a lot of people know, is that comets are covered in carbon chains and organic materials, and like, you know, building blocks for amino acids, just because they are easily put together in space.
Yeah. So a very popular theory is of how life formed on Earth is that comets and meteoroids and asteroids delivered organics to Earth, and then, you know, the genetic code and the first cells were able to form from those organics that formed elsewhere in the solar system.
Came right from space.
Yeah.
This landing was incredibly dramatic because...
Yes.
Just the accuracy with which they had to throw this robot at a moving rock, millions of miles away.
The comet's only, 2 kilometers in diameter, and it's got a rotation of, 12 hours. So being able to land in a little spot, it's not a flat comet by any means. It's got, land on it.
Like, no gravity. They threw this probe there, and then they launched a probe off of that probe onto the comet, and then there was and what they had to do was land and then harpoon into the comet.
Yeah.
And there was a bunch of, it actually bounced very, like, across half the comet, and everybody was like, oh, like, where is it? And at that point, like, you can't communicate, just because the speed of light is finite, you can't communicate with the robot instantaneously. You just have to send it some commands and hope it does what it's supposed to do.
But they were able to send the whole series of commands they wanted to, and it was actually able to get a sample, so... Now the battery's dead.
Mm-hmm. It landed in, like, the one shadow.
Yeah.
And so it can't recharge its solar charge battery.
There's hope that it may be able to charge when it when the comet comes closer to the sun. Yeah. It's currently on an orbit around the sun. But at least they have all the data from the organic analysis. So the science can be done now. So it's a successful mission.
Yeah. It was a very big thing in the last month of... Like, in astronomy, all the astronomers are like, oh my god, what's going on today?
Yeah.
That sounds really interesting. Yeah. Would there be any resources that you guys would point any students who are interested in astronomy? Like, where do you get that? Where do you get your news from?
My main medium is space.com.
Yeah, I was going to say space.com,
yeah,
too.
I love space.com.
There's a lot of... NASA is actually, for as many budget cuts as it's getting, has incredible, like... what's the word I'm looking for?
Deficit.
Outreach. Outreach department that had put together a lot of cool videos. Same with European Space Agency.
Yeah.
But space.com does very well at making a lot of things accessible but technical enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That sounds super interesting. Do you guys have any events lined up for next year, or what are kind of your plans for the club moving forward? Because I know that one of you is leaving.
Yeah. The main thing we want to have next term is more, we call them dark sky nights, where we go out to Porto Cove, for example, mm-hmm. or to Fraser Valley, because they're extremely popular. Our last one sold out in hours, because we need drivers. We need people to be able to take
There's
members.
A lot of equipment to move around.
But we have a small amount of vehicles in our executives, so... we really want to have a couple more of those for all the people that didn't get a chance to go the first time. So that's going to be one of our major points, is to get out to Porto Cove again, take a new group of people, or to get out to Fraser Valley. We also have our annual mini conference in the next term, which is where we get students in astronomy or physics to present their astronomy-related research from either the summer or from their courses, mm-hmm. In kind of a low-pressure, fun kind of environment. So... last year we had 8 different presenters, and
they were
really got pizza.
Cool.
Yeah,
I was blown away by all the undergraduate research, and it's really nice just to have a place where you can practice presenting just in front
of
your peers.
That's really what it's about. Yeah, because if you're getting into academia as a career path, you're going to be presenting at conferences all the time, and getting this kind of practice in like a very low pressure. Like I'm talking, we're having a good time asking questions, and we're all undergraduates, so
yeah.
Yeah, and not difficult.
You know, to any non-astronomers, it's really fun to just attend these and, you know, watch these accessible talks on, you know, some really cool stuff that people are doing, you know, that your friends might be researching with, like, you know, the forefront of astronomy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds super cool. We're going to go into break, and I'm going to play a song called Cult Baby Blues by Cult Babies, of course. And you're listening to CITR 101.9, and this is 24 hours of student power.
Devoted followers who leave their families for you, give their money to you, give their bodies to you, give up their lives for you, consider you God, and will kill for you.
I love you.
When I wake up in heaven, I call out your name. Will you be here for me?
All right, you're listening to CITR radio station at 101.9 FM. This is the Astronomy Club. I'm Ben Pierce.
I'm Robin Newhouse.
And we're here talking about space and the Astronomy Club.
Yeah, so we were just talking a little bit about the history of the Astronomy Club, and I learned that we used to have an observatory in UBC.
Yeah, this is a very sad story.